Hi, welcome to Two Towns Over. This show is made possible by our patrons. If you want to monetarily support the show, we're at patreon.com/twotownsover. If you can't support us financially, then you can support us algorithmically by liking, rating, and sharing. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
It's time to get silly.
I've actually had a couple of these stories like
to the tune
simmering in the background because you know, other things pop up, but nothing popped up this week. Almost did a story about Canada airlifting 4 wolves into Michigan, but it wasn't enough of a story.
Oh, what? I have heard about that. Yeah. It was part of controlling a deer population or something, right?
That does make sense, actually.
Uh-oh. Imagine being a wolf. Okay? You're in the fucking woods of Canada, the Great White North, and you're just wolfing it up. You're having a great time. It's you and your 4 wolf buddies. Oh, man.
There is no alpha because wolves don't work like that.
No, you're just like a polyamorous group of wolves or some shit. I don't know. Or a family of wolves, I think, is actually how it works.
Yep.
you're a thruple of wolves and their 4th wheel. And you just randomly, from your home, an alien literally comes and literally beams you up into the sky or puts you on the back of a truck.
Well, they tranquilize them first, and then when they woke up, they were in
Michigan. That's part of it. That's so much less awesome.
That's part of it, though, is like,
I mean, I know that they have to do that for like
safety and humanity reasons. Like,
but it really fucks up my mental image of this.
Yeah. So let's imagine that these just 4 alien men, just regular humans, just went in like Black Ops gear, and they wrestled 4 wolves. Like John Wick style.
Yeah, they're all dressed like Black Noir from The Boys.
Yeah. And so they get these wolves like bound and trussed, and they toss them in the back of a van, and they get them to the helipad, and then they strap them into a helicopter, and they fly them.
They put the little headsets on them.
Yeah, microphones. So they can communicate.
Because it's cute.
Uh-huh. And they fly them to a whole, essentially a different world.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, it would be the same as if aliens came and abducted the 3 of us.
And took us to, like, Planet 9.
Yeah, exactly. Took us to Mars because it turned out there was something there that we're natural predators for. And
they needed to fix the ecosystem.
Yep.
It's chickens.
So
it's chickens. Dude, not the Martian chickens.
We're gonna get off wolves because I want to talk about balls.
Nice.
Oh, heard.
So I got 2 stories that serendipitously fell in my lap. The first one is the mysterious Betts Sphere of Fort George Island.
Almost like balls.
I feel like I've heard something about this tangentially.
You might have heard of Fort George Island since that's in the Jacksonville area.
Oh, yep. Yeah, that would be it.
Mm. So sometime in March or April of 1974, 3 members of the Betts family, parents Jerry and Antoine, and their oldest son Terry, were walking in the woods around their property on Jacksonville's Fort George Island when Terry found something that would impact their lives for years. A strange metallic sphere about the size of a bowling ball. Thinking it odd enough to make a good souvenir, Terry, then a 21-year-old pre-med student, took the ball home.
Now, Can I make a prediction already?
What?
Is this a radiation story? Don't actually tell me.
Oh,
let's
my
continue.
God.
So the Betts didn't think...
No, it was a Pokeball.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Betts didn't think much about the orb until one day when Terry started strumming his guitar near it. According to Jerry, who became the family spokesman on the sphere, or on sphere-related matters, something strange happened. The ball started humming back. Soon, it started displaying other unusual properties. It would roll around seemingly on its own volition, changing directions and halting abruptly. It even vibrated and emitted a high-pitched sound that would send dogs whining and covering their ears.
Alien hamster ball.
Shortly,
I was going to say it's actually the orb of confusion.
Yeah, yeah.
From SpongeBob. If you hold it, it starts making you say really stupid shit like Skull and Bones is a quadruple A game.
Damn. Oh my God.
So shortly, the Bet Sphere, also called the
first
Mystery
Assassin's Creed, was actually a masterpiece.
It was proof of concept.
Yeah, but we all know that the masterpiece was
Black Flag.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And also the Ezio trilogy. In my not so humble opinion.
The true masterpiece of the... Hold on. Assassin's Creed happened. Wait.
God damn it!
We now pause.
The true masterpiece of the Assassin's Creed series was Brotherhood's multiplayer.
100%. Let's continue.
So shortly, the Betts Sphere, also called the Mystery Sphere or simply the Oddball, started attracting attention. Ron Kivett, the host of local radio show on paranormal phenomena, was one of the first to inspect it. Kivett, who also has a place in local lore as local Jacksonville lore as one of the writers of the locally produced cult monster movie Zat, confirmed the Betts family's claims that the sphere moved and behaved strangely. He, like many others after him, was convinced that the orb was of extraterrestrial origin, a device created by some cosmic intelligence for an opaque purpose.
The orb. It watches us.
It's for sure, like, magnetic, right?
It's for sure. Is this, like, confirmed?
Yeah, this is. There's been news stories. This was back in 1974. There's multiple news stories.
Oh, 74. Okay. Yeah. I missed the year when you said it earlier.
By mid-April of
74. I mean, has anyone filmed this fucking ball?
I don't know.
No, it doesn't show up on camera.
Yeah. By mid-April, the Betts Sphere had also drawn the attention of the news. Now, it's not clear whether the Betts has contacted the media or if reporters caught wind of it around town, but Jacksonville's local newspaper, the Jacksonville Journal and the Florida Times Union, began covering the sphere and interviewing Jerry about it. According to Lindsay Kilbride, a reporter for the Jackson's partner, WJCT, the Jackson, by the way, I'm sorry, is the magazine that this story's out of, WJCT, and host of a podcast about the sphere captured people's curiosity. Around that time, UFOs were really popular, said Kilbride. The story only got bigger from there. Within 1 or 2 weeks of it making headlines locally, it was a national story, and there were even international publications that picked it up as well. In the spring of 1974, reporters from around the world were asking, what is this crazy thing down in Jacksonville, and where did it come from? You have to narrow that questioning down. You have to be more specific with stuff like that.
Say it again. Say that one last bit again.
What is this crazy thing down in Jacksonville, and where did it come from?
Oh, yeah, but you're going to have to get way more specific.
It's a crackhead. His name is Mark.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking of the meth head named Jim.
I got to tell you guys. So, you know, my wife works in a law firm now. And this law firm does workman's comp claims is one of their big things. Well, my wife does what's called the intake where she calls and someone says, I got a case. She has to ask all these questions to see if it's even a case for the lawyers. And she had a guy call the other day who was calling with a workman's comp claim, and it had been like a year that he's been trying to get this done. And, you know, my wife was asking questions, and she asked, do you do, you know, any illegal drugs or, you know, recreational drugs? And he said, not normally, but last night, you know, the pain was so bad I had to self-medicate. Well, we live in Illinois now. It's a recreational state. So my wife just assumed he self-medicated with marijuana. And she moved on. She's like, okay. And then a couple minutes later, she said she had to go back. She's like, sir, what did you self-medicate with? He goes, oh, crack cocaine.
Whoa.
Fantastic.
Whoa.
Fantastic. A drug that has no pain-relieving qualities.
Reason to be good for anyone.
Bro, take kratom like a normal fucking person. Are you what? Holy shit, man. It's just, I fell at work a couple weeks ago. My back has really been acting up. So I sought after some crack cocaine. Was he kidding? Did she like follow up with this? Like you said, crack cocaine?
People will say anything to a person who works in a lawyer's office. Not even a lawyer.
Right. Because they already feel like they have client confidentiality whatever.
Are we already dealing with the law? It's too late now.
He also said that was his only time that he's ever smoked crack cocaine.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
My probably won't be the last.
She handed it to the lawyer. She didn't say anything about it. And she said like 5 minutes later, the lawyer came out and he goes, the only time.
Yeah. You don't just confidently say crack cocaine. How the fuck did you get? Bitch, I'm 31. I live in the American South and I'm black from the hood and I still don't know where to get crack from. Do you understand? It's not easy.
If I really wanted to get some crack, I could probably get some crack.
It might take me 3 days.
Yeah, but it'd be like, give me a week. I could probably come up with some rocks.
I don't just know somebody right now off the top of my head is what I'm saying. Like, it's not like it's fucking simple. Like, you gotta...
I don't even know someone who knows someone. I would, like, know someone who knows someone who knows someone. There would be, like, four layers of separation between me and crack cocaine.
Correct. And it's like, I would have to... Okay. I'm just saying this because if I hurt today, I don't want pain relief 4 fucking days from now. I want it today.
Right.
And I don't know how he know who he know. You know what I'm saying?
This is a better story than the orb.
Truly.
But that's just all because I got.
There's so much more mystery in it.
The first time you've ever smoked? Nah, son. Ain't no way. Ain't no fucking way.
So, with curiosity at a fever pitch, even the U.S. Navy wanted to take a look at the Betz sphere. A shrewd businesswoman, Jerry wrote up a contract that gave the Navy 2 weeks to inspect the orb at Naval Station Mayport and committed them to returning it if it turned out not to be government property. In contemporary news reports, the Navy spokesman stated that they'd found only that the ball was stainless steel, was not their property, and that they couldn't determine what it was for. It was certainly constructed on Earth, or that while they couldn't determine what it was for, it was certainly constructed on Earth. The Navy suggested that its tendency to move around was due to a small triangular chip in the surface that threw off its otherwise perfect balance, and the fact that the Betz's floors were uneven. Scientists...
That is believable.
Yeah.
But it has a chip in it? Yeah. Oh, no, a chip. Like part of it is chipped.
Yeah.
A blemish.
I was thinking like the kind of chip that you get from vaccines.
No.
yeah, the 5G chip.
Uh-huh.
So scientists were the next to take a crack at the mystery. As it happened, shortly after the Betz sphere story had broken, the National Enquirer was convening a panel of 5 UFO investigators in New Orleans. Despite the disreputable sponsor and subject, each of the members was a scientist or engineer in their own right. Among them was J. Allen Hynek, a Northwestern University astronomy professor, and the best-known ufologist of the time. The Enquirer flew Terry Betz and the sphere out so it could be investigated by the panel. Evidently, Hynek and his colleagues were unimpressed with the ball and agreed with the Navy that it was man-made. Now, these conclusions...
This is some boring earthling shit. We don't want it.
So these conclusions did nothing to tamp down interest in the sphere, and eventually the Betz family had had enough. A year and a half or so after the orb became national news, the family simply stopped talking about the sphere. Kilbride said, I've recorded interviews with...
They've been assimilated, I think you meant to say.
Kilbride said, I've recorded interviews with Jerry at the time, and this is just extremely overwhelming for the family. Jerry Betz was getting calls 24 hours a day. The phone was just constantly ringing. People were just showing up at their house. It drastically changed their lives. This is kind of what they became known for. With the Betzes no longer taking sphere-related inquiries, it was never definitively proven what the thing was or how it had gotten on Fort George Island.
Hey. Can you read the part I heard you, but can you read the part about the it changing their, like, when they stopped talking about the orb, how it changed their lives? There was a little couple sentences there.
People were just showing up. Jerry Betz's was getting calls 24 hours a day. The phone was just constantly ringing. People were just showing up at her house. It drastically changed their lives. This is kind of what they became known for.
That right there is why you should be careful about what you're posting online. Not in a, I mean, yeah. If you find my Facebook page, I oscillate fucking violently between like a leftist activism posts and like, oh my God, isn't this dog so cute? Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, or like just stupid memes that I don't think anybody but Josh will understand. it's, I forgot, where was I going with this? Oh, it's, you gotta be careful about putting yourself online and like what you become famous for, because it can ruin your life. If you are not prepared to be famous for something like that, and prepared to deal with all of the attention, both positive and negative, that comes from that, don't put it online. Just don't. And I know there's a very small, excuse me, a very, very small, tiny little chance that it goes viral or whatever. And that even if it does go viral, you might only get your 10 minutes of fame. But sometimes it's flat earthers. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's the alien people, and they will not leave you alone, and you need to be careful.
So this,
'cause it'll ruin your life.
So the sphere fell out of the general zeitgeist shortly after, and the Betz family returned to their normal lives. Though out of the media spotlight, they certainly didn't stay quiet. Jerry was a business owner involved in real estate and trucking, and Antoine was a marine biologist. Jerry continued to be active in the community and was willing to talk about pretty much anything but the sphere. However, a small core of people, UFO enthusiasts, Jacksonville history buffs, and lovers of crazy stories have kept its memory alive. Despite the lack of any news about the object or comment from the family for over 40 years, the sphere has continued to show up in books, shows, and websites about aliens and unexplained mysteries. In 2017, it got its own episode of Ancient Aliens, the uncritical if amusing History Channel show about ancient aliens. Now, the sphere's supposed attributes have grown in direct contrast to actual information about it. Today, websites will tell you that it's made of elements heavier than anything found on Earth, and that if were it to be drilled into, it would explode with the power of an atomic bomb. Now, skeptical takes have also
come
about.
It's the fucking demon core.
I'm for real. That's what I was going for at the beginning of this. Yeah. I was like, is it the goddamn demon core again? Like,
so the podcast Skeptoid covered the Betz sphere in 2012, and in 2016, Jacksonville writer Tim Gilmore wrote about the sphere on his website, jackspsychogeo.com. Following the findings of some of the more skeptical news articles, these offer more prosaic explanations for the sphere's origins. In particular, the sphere specifications fit very closely with the balls used in industrial ball check valves, such as those decommissioned at a Northside paper mill 15 years before the Betz sphere was found.
Huh, weird that.
Uh-huh.
So that
at least it wasn't radiation. I was really scared that you were going to tell me until their son started throwing up every fucking day.
Right.
Like,
I did Google it because I got curious while we were talking about it. And, like, the first line of the Wikipedia page sounds like a fucking SCP article. I just have to read this.
Yes, please.
The Betz Mystery Sphere is a metal sphere with an approximate diameter of 8 inches, 20 centimeters, weighing nearly 22 pounds, or 10 kilograms, uncovered in 1974 by a family in Florida. It reads exactly like an SCP article.
It sure does. By a family in Florida named Redacted.
Like, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, imagine you find a big, cool steel sphere, which, listen, men, boys, also ladies, everybody knows. Big steel ball, very cool. Good. Very cool. Good. Big good steel stuff. Ball, good.
Yeah.
Imagine
it's like you find the perfect walking stick, it's better.
Yeah. Oh, man. Imagine you find big steel ball. You're like, damn, look at this cool big steel ball. You start having some fun with it. It's 1974, so you start telling some spooky stories to fuck with your neighbors, and then you become famous for aliens in 1974. And I guarantee you they did not believe in aliens. And even if they did, they were like, wow, these motherfuckers are insane. Too intense. Like,
I don't know, alien stuff was pretty big in the 70s because, you know, Roswell was only like,
you know what,
a
was,
decade earlier.
You know what was equally big in the 70s? Hating on people who was into alien shit.
You know what else was really big in the 70s?
Brown.
Psychedelic drugs.
Yep.
So the second ball story is from IFL Science, an article written by James Felton. What, something about IFL Science?
Yeah, it stands for I Fucking Love Science.
Okay,
nice.
They are relatively notorious for having the same relationship with science that the History Channel does with history.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So the article's headline is Mysterious Metallic Orb Found in Mexico After Falling from the Sky.
It's another fucking ball bearing, right?
No.
Gotta be.
So a big metal orb has been found. This is August of 2022. So a big metal ball has been found in Mexico.
It
promoting
came in like a wrecking ball.
Prompting
people
to... It
fucking destroyed my roof!
Sorry.
That's all right. A big metal orb has been found in Mexico, prompting people to speculate it's part of an alien, alien spaceship, as well as some much more grounded guesswork. Come on. Dooby dooby doo. The orb, which meteorologist Isidro Cano described in a Facebook post as a very hard plastic or an alloy of various metals, showed up on the top of a tree just north of the city of Veracruz. According to Cano.
Can you say their name again? Their full name?
Isidro Cano.
That name goes hard.
It does. Does. That's for sure
that's
Marvel
a Bond
superhero
villain.
Before
or, yes.
Before the...
Yeah, 100%.
Before he hit fuck it and went to Canada.
He became Negative Man or something. Yeah. Like...
Yeah.
So according to Cano, witnesses saw the orb falling from the sky, making a noise, but no fire. Writing in alarming all caps, he explained that people should not touch or come near it until it has been reviewed by a specialist, adding it may have radioactivity. In a follow-up...
That's actually a really good thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, a mysterious metal object fell out of the fucking sky... There's a way more than 0% chance that that is a radioactive weapon. Don't go near it yet.
Yeah.
So in a follow-up post, he referred to a code on the outside of the orb and reiterated that it should not be opened, despite also claiming that there are no visible openings where the orb could open. Adding
or piece of medical equipment. Those happen too. Those get transported. Sometimes pieces fly off. That shit is real. Be careful about that.
So adding further mystery to what the orb is, he claimed that the spheres are timed so that at some time they will open on their own and show the valuable information they bring within them. Adding further mystery, I just read that, sorry. On Monday, Cano updated his followers to explain that the artifact has been removed at 3:15 a.m. local time by a highly trained and specialized team to be taken out of the borders of Mexico. As for what it was, a reasonable guess is that it could have been a weather balloon or, if you're going to be exotic, genuine space debris. Over the weekend, now again, this was in 2022, China's Long March 5B rocket fell back to Earth with pieces found in Borneo as well as the Philippines. While earlier in
July... Space debris is a good
guess
as well.
Earlier in July, an Australian farmer found a large chunk of what appears to be part of a SpaceX rocket, so it's not out of the realms of possibility. Though his followers preferred theories...
Space debris does not mean alien. Space debris... We have so many satellites, you guys... It's actually ridiculous.
And a lot of them are defunct and effectively just waiting to fall out of orbit.
Yep. That'll just happen sometimes.
Though his followers preferred theories ranging from UFOs to dragon eggs, Cano also favored the space junk theory in his initial post, at least. stating, to my consideration, it may be part of the Chinese rocket that was out of control and that larger number of parts were seen to land in Malaysia on the other side of the world. But of course, that is what the aliens and or dragon eggs would want you to think.
Listen, as a fantasy nerd, I will say, definitely, definitely a metallic dragon, for sure.
Oh, definitely. That, if it's a dragon at all, it has to be a metallic one.
Oh, it'll raise itself up. It'll come out of the egg way more wise than it should be.
Yeah.
And then it'll grow up and fix Canada.
Is Canada broken?
I don't know. Wherever it is, it'll fix it.
Oh, okay. It was in Mexico.
Mexico. It'll fix Mexico.
Dude, the dragon versus the cartels? Let's go.
Not even versus. He's just going to convert the cartels to do his bidding. And his bidding just so happens to be, I want this country to be beautiful.
The dragon turns the cartels into a cult?
The dragon turns the cartels into something even crazier than a cult. An effective government.
Holy shit. We're just coming up with National Enquirer headlines.
I want a dragon to take over for us, but
he turns it into a cultel.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful if you go to Mexico. Make sure you drive with your dome light on in case there's a cultel.
You gotta wear your silver, or else they're gonna fucking come for you, bro.
All right, everybody. So we thank you for listening to our insanity today.
Speaking of the cultels, Akira Toriyama really did that. Like, when he died, the cartel, I know you all know this already, but the cartels literally did a ceasefire.
Really?
Dead ass. For real.
Is that the Dragon Ball Z guy?
Actually.
So I was going to say, for everyone who doesn't know, that's the author of Dragon Ball Z.
Nobody wants to talk about Arale. I don't know why nobody wants to talk about Arale. Probably because nobody outside of Japan knows who that is. So
I don't.
It's a gag manga don't worry about it. It's an Akira Toriyama before Dragon Ball happened.
Gotcha.
All right, everybody. So thank you so much for listening.
I'm that kind of nerd, you guys.
And I just realized we didn't introduce ourselves, but you know who we are if you're listening.
It's fine.
And so we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.